God,
God,
I offer myself
to thee,
to build with
me,
and to do with me as thou wilt.
Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I might better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Thanks, Kate. This BBA UK meeting is open to all BBAers from anywhere in the world with any addiction who is currently using the Big Book Awakening process that supports them to practice the precise directions in the Big Book as a means of deepening their recovery. However, we kindly ask that only recovered BBA members or addicts that have worked the 12 steps using the Big Book Awakening process and are currently sober from their physical cravings share their experience in this meeting. All are welcome to listen throughout or pose questions in the second half of the meeting. It's the last third of the meeting. Before we continue the meeting, be sure to press your mute button. I think everybody's muted. That's all good. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the precise directions for working the steps as described in the first 103 pages of the Big Book, using the Big Book Awakening Guide. We begin by having our speaker share for 20 minutes. If there's no invited speaker, we ask the group for a volunteer or we read a few lines from the BBA workbook based on the steps, step that we're in. And then at 7:30 Greenwich Mean Time, we open up the meeting for general sharing and comments for 20 minutes by those who've worked the BBA process. General shares for 20 minutes, yes, to share your experience, strength and hope on the topic that is being posed. And then at 10 to 8, we switch to a crossfire meeting. And tonight will only be for 10 minutes. Usually it's for 20 minutes because we have a business meeting tonight at 8 o'clock to discuss service positions. The crossfire is a time, though, when anybody can ask a question or share a comment or an inspiration. And you can pose your question to anybody in particular or just the whole group as a whole. But please wait if you haven't worked the BBA process to pose your questions or thoughts at that time. You might jot down your thoughts in the first part of the meeting. We only ask that to be we ask everyone to be courteous of time so all who desire can participate. Please remember to stay on topic. If you can't stay until the end of the meeting, which is 8:15 Greenwich Mean Time, please leave as quietly as you can. Tonight it is my pleasure to introduce to you Amy. Amy is going to speak on the topic of steps 8 and 9 for 20 minutes. Amy, would you please unmute and we'll just check to make sure all is good.
Hi, Judith. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes. Would you like any time yourself, or would you like a five-minute alert before the time's up? Or
why don't you give me a five-minute warning? That'd be great. Thank you.
Great. Okay.
Okay. My name's Amy. I'm a recovered alcoholic and compulsive eater, and I've been working the BBA for about 5 years now. So, yes, steps 8 and 9 we're going to talk about tonight. And I just wanted to kind of set my head right, you know, get into the frame of this, do a little reading from the book. And steps 8 and 9 obviously follow step 7, but that was where we've said our prayer, you know, my creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad, and I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. And, you know, I think in BBA, we do the steps so thoroughly. And one of the things that this step 7 really preps me for is, you know, when I'm going to go out and make amends, it's really important that I know what I've done wrong and that I've given it to God to be removed, because, you know, the whole idea is you don't want to do more harm as you make your amends. So, you know, I think it took me the first time I did it, 6 and 7, to take a little bit of sitting and being sure that I was completely willing before I went ahead and said that prayer, you know, cause it's a big prayer. And, but once I reached that point, you know, then we sort of launch right into 8. And, it's interesting because there's not a lot in the book on 8. And this last time through, I really got a whole new perspective on the eighth step. I mean, I think we talk a lot about nine, and people, you know, there's lots of sharing about nine, and there's lots of great stories that go with nine, both good and bad, and it's an incredibly powerful step. But, you know, this time through, I spent a bit more time in eight, and it was really valuable. And part of what started me off on that journey was I listened to, and I can't recommend this enough, but Father Mike speaking on just step eight. He did his whole share on step eight on the archived telephone meetings. So if you use the BBA website and you go to the archived telephone meetings, it's Father Mike sharing on step eight. And it was just so powerful because, yeah, there's a lot of footwork because it says, you know, made the list. Well, it says right here, we have a list of all persons we have harmed. We did that in our fourth step, and that whom we are willing to make amends. So there's a couple of things there. So we've got our list, yes, but one thing to think about is the actual harms. And I know I can swing both ways. On the one hand, I can think, oh, I haven't done that much harm, and sort of brush over it. And on the other hand, I can be overdramatic and think, oh, my God, I've ruined this person's life. So what Father Mike had suggested was looking at, you know, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual harms, you know, each area for each person, and really getting clear, and also consulting with someone else, because I found that some of the people that I felt like I needed to make amends to, they were more that I just felt guilty. You know, I felt guilty because I hadn't been in their life more, or I felt guilty that I hadn't responded to a request of theirs. And I think that, you know, came more from my codependency or wanting to please rather than, you know, actual harm done. And then on the other hand, you know, some people, like close family members, I wasn't as key, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, maybe I owed him some money. I owed my dad some money and I'd sent him a check or whatever. But you know, when I'd gone through this work this next time, and the fourth step, I did the realization, which I think is just so key for being able to do an effective ninth step. You know, I got this crushing realization in that part of the fourth step that these things that I had held against my father, I had done every single one of them in some way, not necessarily to him, but to somebody else. And that really leveled it for me. And so by the time it came to make the ninth step, he was actually gone. He had died. But, you know, I was just able to do it with much humility and compassion for him because I'd seen where I wasn't any better. And, you know, kind of back to that mental, emotional, spiritual harm, you know, I don't know what he believed or didn't believe. You know, I don't know if he felt, you know, left out, you know, if it made him question any of his spiritual, our relationship and the fact that at one point, you know, we really didn't have one. But I certainly know in my addiction, I have certainly caused stress and worry to him, to my mother, to my brothers and my sister, that, you know, that's something that's time stole from them, that's peace of mind, you know, that's maybe wondering if there is a God, if there is, why is this person, you know, behaving this way? So I think those are all, you know, different things I can look at about each person that's on this list and talk to somebody about and, you know, get really clear about it. And I often, part of that becoming willing, you know, is I usually end up writing a letter that doesn't necessarily get read to them. You know, I read it to my step guide and we talk about it and, you know, kind of go over what I've got there and what I think is appropriate to make amends for and what isn't. And sometimes I think I have a bigger impact than I do. You know, I've got a good friend of mine who's, our friendship kind of has fallen a bit by the wayside and she keeps popping up on my resentment inventory. And, you know, this last time through, it was really more about me beating myself up because it doesn't look the way I want it to. And that, you know, I just have to give her to God. And there's no point me continually going to her and saying, I wish our friendship could look different because, you know, I haven't really harmed her over it. It's just sort of wishful thinking on my part. So, yeah, I just think that the eighth step is, there's a lot to do there before I even pick up the phone or, you know, make the call or send an email. And if I lay that groundwork, then it's almost, you know, I don't want to say effortless, but it's kind of the cherry on the cake, or just the actual doing the amends. And I think I've been really fortunate. Everybody that's been willing to hear an amend from me, I mean, a lot of people have been like, oh, don't worry about it, it's no big thing. I've rarely had, you know, a bad experience with making it. And, you know, with some people, I think that, I don't know, I used to sort of go, you know, I'm in AA or I'm in OA or whatever, and I have to make this to stay sober, to stay abstinent. And I've kind of started leaving that off, because to me it kind of circles back around to making the whole thing about me. Like, it's like they have to listen to my amends so that I can stay sober or I can stay absent. And I mean, I do need to do it for that reason, but they don't have to listen to it for that reason, if that makes sense. And I'm not sure how to convey that any better. But yeah, that's something that I have kind of been leaving off the last time. I'm just saying, you know, that I feel like I've harmed you. I'd like to make amends. Can I talk to you about this? And, you know, I've had people that, you know, I've made it repeated. Well, I usually don't do more than two or three attempts. And if they don't respond, I feel like, you know, that's their spiritual right or whatever. You know, they don't have to show up for this thing. It's not their deal. They didn't. You know, it's not to improve. Well, I mean, it's to improve their lives if they want it, but it's not for me to force on anybody. So then once I, you know, actually go to do the amends, there's, you know, sort of initial contact, which is, again, where I try to let the person know what I'm actually about, you know, just so they know up front. Because I think I had one friend, and I did tell her it was an amends, but I think, I didn't, when I was first contacted, I wasn't sure I had the right details. I didn't know if this was actually her, because I was doing it via Facebook. And so, you know, she was very excited to hear from me. And then I had to say, well, I'm calling you to make amends. And I felt like on some level she might have been disappointed, because she just wanted to hear from me. But I was actually doing it for this reason. But at the same time, I've talked to my step guide a lot about this, in that I owe people amends. And I owe it to make it right to them as best I can. But if there's someone that's, you know, I don't really want in my life, that's okay too. You know, I don't have to. And it's probably not fair to them too if I'm sort of pretending, or, you know, just not being genuine, I guess. And I think that's another bit about the ninth step, is just really showing up from a genuine place of, I want to make this right, and not from, because I think sometimes early on I would come from a place of, oh, well, if I have to do, or not I have to do this, I want to tick all these boxes, because if I tick all these boxes, I'm going to get the rewards that God promised me. And that was kind of more, again, very self-centered and selfish. And so I try to come from a genuine attitude, you know, like being very clear about what it is that I've done wrong, and making it right for them, not so that I stay sober, I stay clean, but that it adds to their life, and I don't just, tick a box. And some of that, I think, and this is, again, popped up in Father Mike's talk, some of that has to do with, you know, maybe coming to a level of forgiveness towards them for something they did to me. It not, you know, sort of coming to them with a chip on my shoulder, making sure that I'm clean with all of that before I try to make the amends, so that even, because I think, you know, I can show up and say the words, but the not have the, what am I trying to say, the genuine feeling behind it. And again, that's part of my, you know, wanting to be the good student, you know, do all the assignment. And so much, I think, of this BBA process is about you know, actually making mistakes and not doing it right and having not doing it perfectly and still having it work, still having this amazing recreation of my life, even though I maybe didn't do it exactly correctly. And like one of the mistakes I made last time was I had an amends that, very old amends from back when I was drinking, and I've been sober 29 years, so it's been a while. And I had basically frauded the government out of some money at that point, and I owed them this money back. So I contacted the government agency involved and hadn't really thought through this, that there was a couple other people involved in the fraud, because I had to have somebody sign off saying that I'd gotten these goods that I had claimed money for. And that was quite touch and go, because I was like, oh no, you know, what if they look up my old records and find this other person's name and then go after them? You know, it was really kind of careless on my part, I just hadn't really realized that, or hadn't thought through that they could possibly trace all that back. But, you know, as it turned out, they said they couldn't take the money. They had no way to accept the money. They weren't really interested in it. It happened so long ago. And so, you know, luckily nothing happened to this other person. But I think, again, that's why counsel with a step guide, or maybe in that case, even a lawyer, is useful, because I nearly inadvertently, you know, involved somebody else or harmed somebody else. I mean, you know, not that they were innocent, but it wasn't my place to sort of grass them up or, you know, tell on them. So, yeah, you know, you don't always get to do it perfectly, but I think that, you know, I learned something amazing from that, because I was so scared when it happened. I thought, oh my gosh, what if this person, you know, this person's a family member, and they're a respected business person now, and I doubt they've done anything like that ever since. But, you know, it could really damage their reputation. But God was there to catch me, you know, and catch this other person, and it was okay. And so then I still had this money I owed, and I sort of, and part of me was like, oh, I'll just let it go. You know, they don't want it, I'll just let it go. And then I went through the work again just lately, and it came up again, and I thought, you know, I'm going to pay that money somewhere. You know, I'm going to give it to a charity that is similar to the organization I took it from, and so hopefully, you know, it will help someone that would have gotten help from that agency. And so, you know, I've since done that and set that up. And I think people do that differently. I think some people donate the money to charity, and some people just consider it that it's clean because whoever it was didn't want it. And I think that's on a case-by-case basis. And ultimately, it's between you and God. And my step guide really didn't push me one way or the other on whether, you know, I should just forget about it, let it drop, or, you know, find some place to go with the money. So I think the ninth step, the amends process, is really, really scary for people. I think that, you know, it's the thing I saw right off. It's the thing I saw the first, you know, nearly 30 years ago when I walked into a 12-step and said, made, you know, amends. And I immediately thought of this stupid money, you know, this illegal thing I had done. And here I am sort of 29 years later, finally setting it right. But
5 minutes more.
Thanks, Judith. I think that that's the power of this thing, that it does recreate who you are. And this time through with my ninth step, I'm finding it hardest to do the ones for the people closest to me. And I think that's because maybe last time I did it, it was with a little bit of that lip service, like I'm just going to tick this off and, you know, I'll make amends to my husband and this, and then it's done. And this time through, I got a really deeper understanding of sort of different wrongs. It wasn't that I was repeating the ones I'd made amends before, but sort of at a deeper level, the harm. And it's tough. And, you know, just it's a little bit devastating to look at it. And especially with my children, you know, and how to talk to them, especially the younger children, and how to word it so that it makes sense to a child. And, you know, it's just been a lot of prayer gone into this of, you know, please guide me, please help me to say the right thing. And I have found in the past that I'm better to wait just a bit than push it through sort of on self-will, you know, just wait until God kind of gives me that little, I don't know, little sign that says it's okay to go ahead. Because, you know, it's a delicate thing to go to people that are so close and they're so vital in your life today. And also, I think the other problem with people that are close to me is, you know, I don't know that I'm perfect. I know I'm not perfect. So some part of me says, well, how can I make amends for shouting when I may shout again? And, you know, my step guide's advice on that was just own that. You know, I really want to do better, but I might shout again. And keep making amends, you know, keep saying. And it's back. We started with step seven, back to step seven, you know. God is going to remove what he's going to remove, whether it's good or bad, in the right time. And it does, you know, for me, it has gotten removed. Amazing things have been removed. And I trust that these things I'm making amends for to these people that are really close to me, that it's all part of that process, and God will take it when it's time. And maybe it'll already be gone, touch wood. So I hope you all got something out of that, and it's really good to be here on the meeting. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you sharing that, Amy. Got a few good things out of that. I wrote a few notes. Hope everybody else was taking notes too. So thank you. And it's now time for general sharing on this step. And the general sharing time is for those who've worked the Big Book Awakening process up to this step or this focus. And if there are multiple people that would like to share at the same time, state your name, then I'll state the order in which you'll share. Please proceed with your share after I call your name. We'll have a 3-minute shares. Please self-time, but as the moderator, I will watch the time, and if you need be, I'll let you know to wrap up, just so everybody has a chance to share. And then after that, 10 to 8, we'll also open the meeting up for a crossfire meeting when anybody can, who's with us, can ask a question or make a comment on the topic. So who would care to share? Who would like to open up the sharing? Go ahead and unmute yourself by clicking on your mute icon or *6 if you're on the phone. Well, if not, I'll kick it off myself then, and then be thinking about when you'd like to share. Thank you, Amy. That was a wonderful share, and I started jotting down some things that, it's in that realization when you said that. It's like it's in the realization that I start to realize that I see it from a different perspective, and I notice, I can see that I have done just about everything they've done to me. I've done it to someone. Whether it was, and I liked how you talked about the emotional, the physical, the spiritual, somewhere in there I have caused the same kind of aggravations or the same kind of similar harms. Very rarely had I not. And I realized, too, that as you were talking, I was thinking, we found our harms, of course, in step 4, at the bottom of all of our lists, mostly the resentment list. For me, one of the greatest harms I had not done after several times through the 9th step in all these decades, that finally in BBA I start to see new things. And this last time I went through, I saw that, the one time before, I saw that in my fear list, that I had been afraid of my ex-husband. And I know a lot of you have heard it before. It's like I'd been afraid of him for the last 25 years since, or maybe 30, how many years now, but since the last thing he said to me, which was, I'll shoot your effing brains out if you take any money out of the bank, when I was leaving him. And that was my ex-husband who had a drug problem. He was a guy with already used up 9 lives on heroin. And we tried, but I had to leave. And I was always afraid he was going to destroy my life in some shape or form at some point, and so I didn't even want him in my brain. Slowly but surely, the resentment was lifted. I had done several inventories. Then my fear, he was always on my fear list that he would come and screw me up or something, or try to steal money or do something. And anyway, the bottom line was after this inventory, I realized I was guided. I had to find him, and I did exactly what you said. I had to go to my guide. I had to talk it through. And within 72 hours, I had found him in North Dakota, and I thought he was dead, but he wasn't. He was alive. I found him on Facebook. I made the approach. I asked him if he'd like to hear from me. I'd like to make amends. And I literally made amends for my entire side of that awful relationship that we did for 7 years. And I was awful. I was awful. I might have been fun the first year because I was party girl central, and so was he, but it all went tumbling downhill after that. And I married him, and that was my fault. But the big issue was, as I made amends, I made a list of several things, and I made amends for every single one of those things. And he was so pleased to hear from me just that I was alive. And anyway, that was one of the greatest amends I've ever made, and it completely shifted my perspective about fear and all kinds of things. So I loved what you said about it. It just changes who we are. And I've made several physical amends, money, and emotional amends to people I've harmed. But that was one of the biggest turnarounds in my life. And that was just a couple of years ago. It was a phenomenal experience. So I encourage everybody, just keep searching diligently for those perhaps we've been worried about for a long time, that it actually might be us who can make the approach and make the amends. We don't need to wait for anybody. So it was a brilliant experience. We cried for 3 hours, the two of us, and then it was over, you know. Okay, that's me. Thanks for listening. Who would like to share next? Please go ahead and unmute your phone or your computer. Share any experience you have with the ninth step. A very quiet group tonight, I must say. Anybody care to share with us? Darren, are you still on the line? Oh, I think he may have dropped already. I can see that quite a few people on the line tonight may not have gone through the ninth step, so I think I'm just going to go ahead and make a call here that why don't we just open up the line for sharing on any step that you're working on or how your experience is going in the BBA, if you'd like to do that, or if you have a question for Amy regarding the ninth step, or anybody.
Hi there, this is Chris in Australia. Can you hear me?
We can, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for the share. It was very helpful, and it is another what shall I say? Just the indication that I have a higher power working in my life, because let's say about probably three months ago, maybe even 2 months ago, I was the idea of actually being employed full time was so unreachable to me, and here I am working in a well-paying job in the with the objective of at least putting a quarter of it towards my outstanding financial amends, and one of them is when I was 12 years old, I manipulated one of my school friends to swap me a basketball card, which was even very expensive back then. And I actually contacted him after going through the step and to apologize, thinking that he would say, yeah, that's cool. And I said, is there anything I could do to make it up to you? And he said, yeah, you could get me another card. And so I looked it up, and to get one of those cards sent over here to Australia is about $2,500. And so naturally being, you know, kind of having all sorts of reservations about money, I am willing to do it, although hesitant. And I have been praying for guidance by my higher power on how to make the right decision. And, you know, I go to my sponsor about it and he says, I don't know, it's between you and God, you know. So I've been slowly, you know, inventorying it and praying about it and meditating with it. And, yeah, I think we've got a little bit more direction. You know, just the fact that I've come onto this new meeting and I found it while I'm in a remote location, and yet the step tonight is step nine. So it's just an indication that, you know, I'm going in the right direction, and just to keep going with it. And I like what you just said, Judith, about just keep searching diligently. That's what it's all about, this program. And so, yeah, being diligent with, you know, making the amends and being honest, and just searching for that connection with my higher power. You know, it's without that higher power. But anyway, yeah, thanks for listening, and it's great to be a part of this meeting.
Thanks, Chris. You're welcome. Thank you so much. Just proves that you can always get to a meeting, even if you're in the outback in Australia, right? It's fantastic. Thank you for joining us. Who else would care to share? Please go ahead and unmute your line by clicking on your icon or star 6 to unmute your phone. Carol, would you like to share how you have made amends before? Share with the group some of your amends?
Hi, Judith, it's Britt.
Hey, Britt, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Amy. I'm not on 8 or 9, I did them years ago, and I've stalled in BBA twice at the thought, mostly at the thought of doing them, and doing one in particular, which as many of you who know me probably know what it is, which is something very close to home because it's my neighbours. And I suppose my question, and I know trust will come into this, which I struggle with, even though I'm on step two right now, is I don't know if you, Amy, or other people here had anything similar where the thought of doing an amend, well, maybe two questions, the thought of doing an amend to somebody that you have had a lot of resentment towards and fear around as kind of unsafe people, stopped or stalled or, you know, blocked your progress in the programme. And two, which is sort of within that too, if there's somebody who doesn't feel like a safe person to be around, you know, because they're physically or they're just really, really sick and verbally abusive and whatever, and you're going to have to see them every day, or you're going to have to still live next to them, if there's anyone else with a similar experience in either of those two questions, I'd love to hear. Thank you.
Thanks, Britt. Would somebody care to jump in and share their experience or any thoughts that they're guided to?
Judith, it's Amy.
Yeah, go ahead, Amy.
Can you hear me?
Very mildly. Yeah. Could you speak up a little louder?
Yes, I will. The first thing I was going to say, and I think...
louder.
I mean, your first question...
Louder,
sorry,
Amy.
Your first... can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. A little bit better, yeah.
I mean, Britt first talked about stalling in it because of this fear of the ninth step. And I think what was really important for me was to just know that if you're on step two, you're not ready to do this, you know, you're not ready to address this issue, and that it is a bit of a step two issue. Also, you know, coming to believe that your higher power is going to give you what you need to handle this when you get there. But, you know, the fact being, and I think that that's a really good thing to focus on, is the step that you're on, not, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to deal with these people in step nine. And that, you know, when we get to step nine, I didn't talk much about this, but we go through this process where you're perfectly fine to make up a card that says, I'm never willing. You know, we go through, we put pluses and minuses, and you know, you will learn and grow and get more access to more power and more guidance as you go through. So, you know, it's like trying to sort of do trigonometry before you've even done algebra, kind of thing. And that, and I certainly had that experience. There, you know, I had a stack of minus cards that I didn't think I would be able to do, or, you know, be able to take care of. So that's the first part of it, is not letting yourself get ahead of yourself, you know, to staying where you're at, and that just focusing on that and connecting with your higher power, and the rest will come. The other thing too, and Britt, you might want to listen to Father Mike's Step 8 talk, because it could be particularly useful. He talks about, you know, not making amends to people when it's not safe to, you know, that you find other ways to make the amends, that, it, you know, that... that there's never a reason to put yourself in danger, really. And another thing that he talked about was page 133 in the big book, where it says, you know, occasionally we need help from doctors, psychiatric, and I forget what he says, a physical, so something like that. If you read page 133, but essentially, you know, you could maybe need, and again, this is jumping way ahead, but there may be some outside help needed. I mean, if you were actually moved to do it in person, you know, maybe there could be some mediation or you know, something. But the point being is that you're putting the chicken before the egg, and I know it's hard not to do, and the fear is there. And then, again, it comes down to step one, are you willing to do it no matter what? And step two, can you believe, do you have a God that can take you through this? And that if you can... you know, if you can come to that place through the process, you'll be shown the power and guided, and it's, you know, you'll get there. You don't have to worry today. So I don't know if that's any help. But I don't have any personal experience with making an amends to somebody I was afraid of. I think Judith, said, you know, she's just shared hers, and I don't know if anybody else does, but that's all I've got.
Thanks, Amy. Who else would like to answer that question or share their experience with this? Making amends to somebody you see and that you know and yet you're afraid of them because of their behavior, it's still happening. Very quiet little group tonight. I mean, I think I'll just say then, it's just Judith 8 on page 83, you know, it does say to us, you know, that, you know, as long as we are willing to make them, you know, so when we get to that and we've got enough strength to make them, you know, something I'd say first is that I'd made every single one, every single other amend. I don't have any more to make, and at that point, of course, I'm, you know, collecting more, I'm sure, as I miss them on a daily basis. But some of the biggest ones, all the big ones, and all the minor ones, and then, you know, whatever I call them, to the family and all this. And at that point, I think the thing is to get going on as many as you can. You know, I know that you've been through the steps, Britt, to that point a couple times. And I'd say, you know, I just had to get going on every one of them I could. And this is going back years when I didn't really even have that much connection with a higher power, but trusted it would be okay to do some, even paying back American Express and ripping them off. and, you know, all kinds of things. But it says here on page 83, you know, we don't delay if it can be avoided, but we should be sensible, tactful, considerate and humble without being servile and scraping. You know, we're God's people. We stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. And I think that's the critical piece, is how to be sensible and tactful when we could be putting ourselves in a dangerous situation. And like Amy said, I just didn't have any power to make amends to my ex-husband for years and years. And I was afraid if I found him, he might come after me. But then it gets to that point where it's like, okay, either I'm going to carry this sucker around and, you know, I'm going to pay for it. I know I'm going to pay for it. Or it's time. It's time that I go to all my steps and say, do I trust God? Either it's God is everything or nothing for me. And, you know, I'm trying to live on that new basis, a new attitude. And I want the promises. And so at that point, I knew I could do it. I knew I could do it because it wasn't just me doing it now anymore. It wasn't me mustering up the courage. So I think the key is just to keep working your steps. And you don't know this time, you know, for now, as Amy said, for now, maybe it's just, you know, you just keep it there on the side praying for it. And by the time you get to step 9 again, you'll know the answer. You'll know how to do it with a tactful, sensible, considerate and humble approach for your side of this, without any need for them to apologize, which I went to my ex with. No desire, no expectation, no even imagining he would even remember those things. And none of it mattered because I was clean on my side of the street, and it was a very nice experience. So the healing is enormous on the other side of this. But yeah, page 83 tells us a little bit about that. Pass.
Thanks, Judith. And also, just to say, sorry, I meant to say to Amy also, I liked the honesty about a tick box exercise, because obviously where I am now is exactly on that question, God is everything or nothing. That's exactly where I am. And you can also hear that I'm not quite there yet. But I've also considered in the past that, you know, I want the promises, I want them now, so I have to do all this stuff, and then I'll get it, when actually, unless or until I've got forgiveness, I am probably going with an agenda, and yeah, ticking boxes, not really feeling it, is probably, anyway, I just like the way you described it, Amy, and yeah, thanks for the reminder of page 83. Thanks.
And just to add to the things that we can listen to, there's also a really good recording. It's actually under Tyler 2018 workshop, where Pastor Jose speaks on forgiveness, and that's a really beautiful, I think, also very helpful for those, you know, when we're stuck behind what we didn't get from somebody else, and but yet we still need to make an amends for our side. That's also a lovely recording as well. Who else would like to share on this answer, this question, or would it like to share? Go ahead, and we'll keep it open for any share on the where you are in the BBA and how it's going for you, or the step, if you have finished this step.
Hello?
Hi, yeah, go ahead, Lucy.
Okay, I've lost the speaker now.
No, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. yeah, thank you. I'm Lucy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thank you for everything that I've heard so far. I just wanted thoughts on... I have a lot of amends to the father of my children, but he's died now, and so how people have worked on that issue. Something, a situation like that.
Thank you. Could somebody share how, if they've made amends when somebody has already passed? Amy, go ahead.
This is Amy. I'll just share quickly. I mean, I did one for my dad, and I just wrote a letter and read it to my step guide. I think people, there's all sorts of people do graveside ones. You might have someone, I owed my grandma some money, so I gave that to one of her children. So it just depends on what it is, but there are ways, definitely. And ask people, because there's, you know, you'll find the one that suits you, or it suits God, even more importantly. Good luck.
Thanks, Amy. Would somebody else care to share on this?
Hi, it's Britton. It might be contradictory given what I was sharing earlier, because I did do some amends, and in fact, two people who died, which many of you know about. So, Lucy, it's not maybe the same situation, because at that point, neither of them had been, they had died, but they hadn't been buried. So I wrote a letter and it went in the respective caskets of those people. And what I also was aware of, which I haven't always achieved, but I was aware that it might be, it was the only other thing I could think to do, was sort of a living amends by not speaking about those people critically. That's kind of like don't speak ill of the dead, but it was a bit more, anyway, yeah, that's all that came to me. I don't know, that may not be relevant, but that was my experience.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Britt.
Thank you, Britt. That was really helpful. Thank you.
This is Judith. I do have a sponsee right now, somebody who wants to make a graveside amends, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're preparing their thoughts, that's something they want to say, and they've even said they'll let me know if they want support, and in any other way, we may even go down there together. You could ask anybody to support. So that was, I know a lot of people who do that kind of thing. And Lucy, do you want to, anybody else want to answer this question? Okay, if not, would somebody like to share on another question or ask another question or just simply share where you are in your BBA steps. It doesn't matter which step you're at. If you'd like to open up, just sort of check in. It is 10 to 8 now, so anybody can share at this time. We can open it up to questions on the topic or anything related to the Big Book Awakening. Or just go ahead and share your own experience for a couple minutes on where you're at with your steps. Kate, do you want to do a check-in? No, Ash, would you like to check in with us and just let us know how you're doing? Or Lizzie?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ash.
Hi, thank you for the chair, Amy, and for the questions and the meeting, Judith. It's good to be here. I'm still on step 4 with the BBA. I did the 8th and the 9th steps, doing the 12 steps previously. I think one of the things around step 8, I got stuck on when I was doing it was I was really hesitant to do it, reluctant to do it, and after some prayer and meditation, I realized that it was that resistance, because I recognized early on that doing a step 8 and a 9 would mean that I have to change behaviors, and I think a part of me was still hanging on to some old behaviors, but meditating throughout was really helpful, because I really needed a connection with a higher power. And in terms of where I am at, we talked about making amends and making sure that and avoiding without having to harm ourselves or other people. And it's interesting that this topic comes up, because I'm in a situation with family members who I made amends to, and I mean to make living amends, but there is harm coming my way. So it was really interesting that this topic came up today. But yeah, I really enjoyed the meeting and I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Ash. It's lovely to have you with us.
Thank you.
Lizzie, do you want to do a check-in? Kate, would you like to check in?
Hi, yeah, it's Kate, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, everybody. Well, lovely meeting. Thank you, Amy, for your share. I'm currently just finishing step 3 and about to start step 4. And I'm already making a list in my head of people that I don't want to make amends to. So I've really had to kind of just give that up to God and trust that, which is part of step 3, right? Is to just stop arranging the lights, the show, the ballet, the dancers, the actors, and give it all up to God and trust that when that point comes, then I will be ready. And that was certainly my experience when I went through the steps many years ago. So I think just going through steps 1, 2, and 3, the BBA way, has just been such an eye-opener. I have never, ever done steps 1 and 2 or 3 in that much detail. And it's funny that over 10 years in a Alcoholics Anonymous, I've read the book so many times, but to actually apply it to my own life and my own addictions and my own recovery is such a stupid thing to say, because I've read it a lot of times and I've related to it, I've identified with it, I guess, but I haven't actually sat and applied it all to my own recovery. And it's really, what an amazing process to go through. It's been great, but with it, my emotions have been very up and down. I'm still not finding a lot of emotional middle ground. I'm either feeling very flat or very elated or very low. But in all of it, just knowing that I'm doing exactly the right thing by just going through the work in that way. I've seen it work in the others up at the Bedford group, Billy and Shirley. And also in Sharon as well. And I'm just incredibly grateful for this process, and I'm gonna see it through to the bitter end without a shadow of a doubt. I'm not stopping for anybody or anything, because I just don't want to be acting out around food the way that I was, and I can't call myself sober and recovered in AA and, you know, be binging on my way home from the meeting. It's just not, that's not being clean. You know, it's not what God wants for me, and this process has helped me to understand that. So, but I really, really liked what you said, Amy, and you've really sort of set my mind at rest, so thank you.
Thanks, Kate. Appreciate you sharing. Would anybody else like to share or check in or tell us how you're doing with the steps? Or if we have anybody with another question, we've got a little time for that. Lucy, do you want to share how you're doing with your steps? Or Lizzie?
Hi, it's Lucy, Pastor Rita. I've just got a lot from this meeting tonight. I'm just starting step 4, really, and been having fun thinking about my core beliefs and how that kind of has impacted on my life, and resentments. It's going to take a long time to get through that lot, I think. But I'm really, really keen to get stuck in and move on. I've never done it really properly, as people have said, is just a totally different thing to experience. The power, you know, I just never really took step three, is what I realise. When it was convenient, yes, but handing everything over, I'm not doing it automatically yet, but I am being carried, and I know that. It's more like I realise it when I look back than at the time or looking forward. And I want to get more conscious about that, maybe, because then I'd approach the day with less fear and anxiety. I mean, right now it feels like a big piece of work to do, but it's just like how you eat an elephant one bite at a time, and that's how I'm going to approach step four. And I'm not thinking too... I'm not really thinking too far ahead, because there's some amends that just feel the thought of doing fills me with anxiety and fear. So I'm clearly not ready yet. So I'm just trusting the process, trusting my guide will be able to help, and that, you know, that my higher power will come into it and do for me what I really definitely can't do on my own. And I will hopefully experience much more freedom. My food obsession is pretty lifted, which is just an unbelievable miracle at the moment. But there's a lot going on, and it always helps when there's a lot going on. And I'm just really, really grateful that this is so far delivering more than I could ever have imagined. Maybe I have a limited imagination, but it is. I'm loving this. It's really exciting, and I feel much more alive than I have done for the last couple of years. I'd just like to say I'm really grateful, and thank you for everybody's share.
Thanks, Lucy. Thank you. That is all the time we have tonight for sharing. Usually we go a little bit longer, but tonight is a business meeting, being the first Monday of the month. So I'll go ahead and wrap up, and then I'll open up the business meeting. So let's see. If you would like your contact information listed on our contact list email, please tell me or email me judith@judithwilson.com. That's judith@judithwilson.com, with your name, your last initial, time zone, phone number if you'd like to give it to us, and your email address. If you want to tell us what program you're in and length of sobriety, that's helpful too. Mostly we use this email list just to remind people of meetings coming up and speakers coming up, that kind of thing. Do we have any announcements tonight or any requests from the group? Lizzie, I think you said you wanted to put something out. Do you want to go ahead and unmute?
I'm wondering if people are managing an OA without being sponsored, but without a food plan. I don't know if anyone has had experience with that. Thanks.
Do you want people to connect with you or contact you regarding this, like somebody to speak to? Or?
Yeah, that would be good. That would be really good. But if the food plan and the time it takes isn't working, it just not makes me diet mentality. If anybody's got experience not doing it with a food plan, that would be great.
Okay, so Lizzie has a request if people would be willing to contact her if you're in OA and you're working the steps but you don't use a food plan, I mean, a lot of people don't. There's plenty of people that don't. But if anybody would willing to contact Lizzie. Lizzie, what contact should they call you on or connect with you on? Do you want to put your contact info out?
Yeah, email is kellylizzie@gmail.com.
Can you say that again?
Type
it in the thing. Oh, actually, I think I must have you somewhere, Lizzie. So let me just double check, Lizzie. 1 second. Is it curlylizzie@gmail.com?
Yeah.
So it's curlylizzie, CURLYLIZZIE, @gmail.com. curlylizzie@gmail.com. If you have, if you can call Lizzie or connect with Lizzie regarding that, or if you know somebody else who might, then please do.
Judith?
Yes, go ahead.
I don't use a food plan, so if you want to send Lizzie my email, I'm happy to talk to her.
Great. Lizzie, I'll get you two connected. Lizzie and Amy.
That's great. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I couldn't make out her email when she said it. So.
Oh, it's Curly Lizzie, CURLY, like curls. Curly Lizzie, LIZZIE. @gmail.com.
Hi, Britt here. Just to say, Amy, I'd be interested in that too. It's Britt. Thank you. I don't know if my email's in the directory thing.
I'll link you three up to
you. Thank you.
Anyone's welcome to contact me. I guess I can give my email. If you have it.
Yeah, Amy's email. Let me just pull that for my contacts here. Amy. Sorry, I don't know everybody's off by heart.
It's okay.
Amy.
Or Amy. I can do it another time. It's fine. I don't want to take up the time.
a.l.jonesz@me.com. That's a.l for Larry dot J-O-N-E-S-Z at me.com.
Lovely. Thank you. And I've got a separate question about calendar dates, but maybe you're coming on to that.
So there is a question. Yeah, we'll have to answer that in the business meeting tonight too. I think that that's the Wednesday night meeting. Sorry, that's on Christmas. I mean, Boxing Day. Go ahead with your question, Britt.
Sorry, I just unmuted myself. Yes, I haven't quite looked at where we are for the next couple of Mondays, but obviously, yes, I know what it is. Yeah, if we are doing the 1 week on, 1 week off, is that right?
No, we do the first and the third Mondays of the month.
Oh, okay, so the third Monday will be Christmas Eve.
No, the third Monday this month is the 17th of December, and then we will not have another meeting until January, and in January it will be January the
7th. Oh, yes, sorry. Oh, I see. One and then three, not one and then a gap of three. Yeah, I get it. Cool.
Just
thanks.
Do the first and the third. It keeps it easier for everybody.
Yeah, thanks. That's great.
Great. Okay, we have come to the end then, and I'd like again to thank Amy for being our speaker and for everybody for sharing and coming to the meeting. Our next meeting will be on the, 19th? Yep. 17th. Menopause, can't remember what I just said. The 17th of December. Let's see, we will close now with the seventh step prayer, and then we're going to open right back up. So if you aren't going to stay for the business meeting, you can just drop off the call after that. Let us close, though, with the seventh step prayer found on page 76 of the Big Book. My Creator.
Creator.
I'm now willing that you should have
all of me.
Good and bad.
Good and bad.
I pray that you now
remove from me
every single defective character which stands
in the way of my usefulness
to you and my fellows. Grant me strength
as I go out from you
to do your bidding. Amen. Thanks, everybody, for attending. We appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
And we shall, let's see how many people we have for the business meeting. Okay, so why don't we just open the business meeting with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
To accept the things,
I cannot change.
The courage.
To change the things I can.
And the wisdom.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay, so one of the things on the agenda tonight is service positions. And Aliz has been doing the co-sec or co-moderator for quite some time and is wanting to have someone take over on that now. So that position is becoming available. I've been doing it for a while. I'm happy to carry on unless somebody else wants to take on the co-moderator position. And Amy has also been the speaker getter for a while and has... is also willing to continue on unless somebody else would like to take over that position. And we're open for discussion or questions. Is there anybody who would like to be the co-moderator? It's very easy. I've got a script. Is anybody, let's open that one up first to fill Alize's position come January. I know we don't have a whole lot of people on the line tonight, so it's a bit, we may have to put that out in the WhatsApp. Is there anybody who wants to pick up the speaker getter position? That, you know, they're raring to go, or shall we stick with Amy continuing on, who's doing a fabulous job, by the way? Okay, I'm not hearing any discussion so far. Feel free to open up by unmuting or star six on your